This is Bucky McCaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Following the article in Huffington Post profiling the current macaw flock of three miniature hens and two humans in a one-bedroom apartment in Astoria, Queens, which I mentioned on the previous broadcast, and the link to which is on the BuckyBacaw.org website, I've had a round of questions from listeners and friends about my personal chickening methodology and the breed I'm living with, known as Serama, S-E-R-A-M-A. Just to recap real quick, I started chickening and broadcasting early in this century while I was living in Boise, Idaho. Various breeds of chicken passed through my life, but for the most part, I had a couple of mixed breed bantam chickens and one golden sea bright. Those chickens were 8 to 12 inches tall and weighed no more than a couple pounds. That's considered small, but it was perfect for my 850 square feet of garden space, for laying breakfast most days most of the year, eating weeds and bugs from the garden without being too destructive on my little crops, and generating enough poop to make the compost turn very fast and improve my soil dramatically, requiring minimal inputs from outside the actual yard. I returned to my home base in New York City in 2007 and continued to do the broadcast while I scoped out the local chicken and agriculture scene. I still haven't found a good place to rent or buy with a yard and don't live near one of the community gardens in New York that's suitable for the kind of chickening I cut my teeth on. But I met a fella who turned out to be a good friend and a little bit of a mentor and someone who gets a lot of mention on this show, Sam Trayton, who was my main introduction to the type of chicken known as Serama. Serama are even smaller than the bantam hens I started with. They begin at 6 inches or less and weigh about a solid pound. I convinced my partner to start chickening with Serama, hoping to accomplish most of the same stuff I missed from backyard chickening, and it's mostly worked out. Serama, also called the Malaysian Serama, originated in Malaysia in the last few decades. The breed was brought to the United States several years ago, and it's growing in popularity and quickly becoming an established breed. There are other super small chickens in Asia that resemble my chickens. A Japanese friend recently called them Chabo, which do look very similar to the Bacaw hens Penny, Deary, and Esmeralda. But the emerging American breed of Serama have distinguishing characteristics recognizable to bird enthusiasts, including vertical tail feathers, vertical wings, and a full breast. You can learn more at the Serama Council of North America website. We're still looking for a home in the city that includes a modest amount of backyard space. I think we'll all enjoy that, but in the meantime, the indoor hen experiment has mostly been a success. A little more than half the hens feed is scraps from our cooking or leftovers. The stemmy stuff from cilantro, carrot peels, chopped mushroom stems, stale-ish bread, rice stuck to the steamer, portions of spaghetti too small to make another meal, etc. The rest is stuff we'd have on hand anyway. Greens we bought to eat ourselves but chop up for them. Sesame seeds, flax seeds, oat, or cornmeal. In the winter, we buy dried mealworms from the store and dried grass that doubles as bedding and feed. I'm very aware of the nutritional needs of chickens, and make sure that they get a balanced diet. That takes priority over using only scraps. Yet still, the expense is a fraction of cats, dogs, and ferrets, all of which I've had in the past. And my feeding methodology doesn't require going to the pet store. The food isn't processed or sourced from factory-farmed animals, which I object to. And it doesn't stink up the house, the way I remember from the old days with indoor mammal pets. Nor does the chicken poop itself stink up the house, which surprises a lot of people. I believe the whole foods we feed them, including plenty of fiber and fresh greens, is the reason. Sometimes when we take them on field trips and they eat a lot of bugs, there is a mild smell, but it doesn't carry beyond a few feet and dries up fast, plus we scoop regularly. A couple times a day we collect all the chicken poop from our floor. I do feed these hens differently than I have fed backyard chickens, raising the percentage of fibers and drier foods in order to get poop that is easier to clean. As you can see from the photos in the Huffington Post article, our wood floors have shown no damage after over a year of free ranging. The first question a lot of people ask me is, do those chickens poop on the bed? The answer, which surprises even me, is no. They very rarely jump on our bed. My domestic partner, Jules, theorizes that it's because they know that the bed is our nest. And I like that theory, although I also must say that since there's no food in that room and little sunlight, it's probably just not attractive to them. If they did fertilize our bed, we'd start locking them out of that room. We collect the poop in our compost bucket, along with used grass bedding and food that is dried up, and once a week we incorporate that rich fertilizer into our public gardening. Since we started the fertilizer routine, the butterfly garden we tend in Astoria Park has improved dramatically, as many parkgoers have commented to us. As a backyard chickener, I was completely enamored with chicken's ability to debug a garden. Indeed, it's why I started chickening, and my experience surpassed my original hopes. I have to admit, I've been a little disappointed that these hens are not particularly effective at hunting and eating the fruit flies that have plagued our worm composting bin. And I was even more disappointed to learn after a little research that chickens are not effective bedbug eaters, since that could have made them a very popular animal in this city. Maybe even made me a living. But I can at least say that chickens do not create a bug problem, which is not true for other pets. I'd also have to say that these hens are not outstanding egg layers. I'd say 9 months out of the year, these three hens produce a total of 6 to 9 eggs a week, which, considering the size of the eggs, is about half the size of a grocery-graded regular, which is just enough for Jules and I to share one very delicious, I must say, omelet breakfast in the weekend. The eggs are amazing, very rich, probably because of their gourmet feed. But at this rate, they're less valuable to us as a food source than as a gift to folks who don't have chickens and who help the Bucky Bacaw enterprise in some way. What I really like these chickens for is as sustainable pets, well-suited to my urban existence, and as assistant ambassadors to urban chickening. I've lived with dogs, cats, ferrets, fish, and exotic birds, and these little hens are the quietest, cleanest, least expensive pets I've ever had. They're still the most popular house pet in Malaysia, after all. I still warn folks that they probably won't be able to keep roosters. I've had 4 roosters pass through my home. The first 3 were all from my first batch of chicks. They were on the large side for their breed, and they encouraged each other, so the din in this place was unbearable. We traded them out, and of the next 3 chicks, 1 turned out to be a rooster, who only crowed 20 minutes a day around 7 a.m., and was only a little louder than my alarm clock. He was a true gentleman with the hens, and he was great with kids, and I really, really wanted to keep him. But 1 out of our 4 neighbors complained, and since roosters are not permitted as pets in New York City, I traded him in too. But the hens clucking is rarely audible outside the doors of our apartment, except for when they are majorly spooked by something outdoors, usually a loud noise or sometimes a big bird or cat on the fire escape. Indoor hens are a little more work than fish, but the work is more fun, and they're less cuddly than dogs and not as funny as ferrets or cats, but they actually do play and interact and sometimes even cuddle with us. But most importantly, they don't care how late I stay out at civic meetings, networking events, performing arts evenings, or gigs in my other persona, crooning ukuleleist Roberto Buscarsi. As long as we leave them food and water, they'd be good on their own for 2 or 3 days. One thing I do tell people who might be considering pet chickens is they should have at least 2. Chickens are social animals. It's just that human sociability is optional. On the other hand, 1 chicken might make a great pet for an older person who's home all day. Also, for people interested in outreach or education, spreading the Bucky Bacaw agenda, or teaching people about agriculture or science, these hens have been amazing. They're tame, perfect for interacting with children or people with barnyard phobias. They are small and easy to transport, and they look beautiful on stage. In show terms, the Bacaw Sarama are also rans. But except for 4-H'ers or hobbyists, most everyone else agrees that these girls are gorgeous. When we go on vacation, there's a backlog of people who are just waiting to chicken sit for us. During these recent holidays, I had a little more trouble than usual, but I did eventually find someone. In retrospect, I should have prepared them better. Most urban people don't take naturally to chickening. But still, I had a lot more trouble planning vacations around my indoor mammal pets. Last, but definitely not least, a lot of people ask me, are the chickens happy indoors? Well, they sure seem it. They live in comfort, and they have a lot to do in the day. They don't have dirt to scratch in, but we give them piles of grass to hunt in, which are easy to clean, but still interest them. And we filled a cat box with clean sand for their dust baths. They cluck and coo and really seem pleased with their lives. However, I must admit, during the warm months, when they come out with us 1 to 3 times a week to parks, private yards owned by friends, and community gardens, they get really excited. On the other hand, my backyard chickens, who were outside 24/7, seem to take it for granted. And we're always begging to get inside the house. So maybe it's a grass is greener kind of thing. Since my personal experience is the subtext of every show, I try to put the actual focus on editorializing on broad chicken issues and profiling other people's coops. I made an exception this week, but I'm going to be back on track next week. In the meantime, please send me your show ideas, coop tour invitations, and the like. I'd love to arrange a visit or put together a virtual interview with an MP3 exchange. Contact me, as always, at Bucky@BuckyBacaw.org. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed yourself. I know I had a good time.
Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.